the regular executives had got a bit old, fat and jaded and bored. They had a scene there which had been going since the middle 50s when rock and roll first started. And when Buddy Holly died, that record when he did, the last one he did about It Really Doesn't Matter Anymore, became the starting point for a load of mush which was poured out on the radio, which was middle of the road rubbish, you know, very clean and nice, antiseptic and useless. So a lot of groups grew up in the pubs around there, in the nightclubs, in the working men's clubs, the blue-collar workers' clubs, and there was a lot of music that was made just ready to be tapped, and the Beatles were just, you know, they were just, somebody just knocked the top off a saw, and the rest of it just came spouting out. I started this group called the Black Diamonds, when we played all the school hops, you know, and helped me get a few chicks here and there, and there was this mad vicar who had what was called a parish rock club on a Monday night. And I walked into this club when I was 15 and I heard this marvellous band on stage. And they all looked like Gene Vincent members because they had blue and black striped county caps, corduroy caps. And they had blue and black striped shirts like pyjamas and jeans. And they all wore sunglasses, although it was the depths of winter and it was snow outside. And they played really original material which I hadn't heard. Joe Turner and Pete Johnson blue stuff, Kansas City blue stuff, and it really was pounding. I stayed behind to listen to this group and I asked if I could sit on piano, because they didn't have a piano player. So I played, and it was Eric Burden's group and it was called The Pagans. They were a couple of years older than I was, and they went to college and they had a very nice professor there who also used to educate them to blues music as well. And they helped to educate me. And we played with religious fervour, we had a messianic zeal about the blues, we used to collect the records, and all of the material on the first three Animals albums is based on all the stuff we rehearsed before we ever turned professional.
Alan was a civil servant and had to work in government until he was 21 before he could move or go anywhere. I was at college, as was John Steele, the drummer, so we could operate in a much looser sense. We could go away for the summer, go down to London, see Alex's Corner, see Keith Richard, and Mick Jagger, Eric Clapton, all those guys. And Alan was stuck up there in Newcastle, had to finish his job, so he was playing locally with a band called the Alan Price Combo. I came back from London and told him that, you know, he must come to London. He didn't, so the Animals didn't come together for another 2 years. In fact, if he had done that, we probably would have been the first rock and roll band of that wave, actually, because the Beatles at that time were in Hamburg, the Stones hadn't yet begun, the Yardbirds hadn't yet begun at that point in time.
We had been, you know, aficionados of the blues school, that really heavy stuff, like Muddy Waters, Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee, Jimmy Reed, John Lee Hooker, a lot of people like that. And we had gotten some very obscure albums, which Eric's aunt, who lived in Canada, managed to get for him, because in the early 60s, you could not, the catalogue wasn't there. But it was a particular sort of minority appeal at the time when we took it up. And we took it, and that's basically why we took it up. We felt we were rather clever. We felt that the music of the Negroes paralleled the area we came from, because it's a very depressed area. Unemployment really hit hard in the 30s, and we never really recovered.
I used to be in a motorcycle gang, but we didn't have motorcycles, we couldn't afford them. There was like only two guys had bikes, and one of the main characters in the gang was called Animal, and he was a psychotic who'd just come back from war-torn Cypriot islands, and he was crazy. I liked them a lot.
Without Eric and myself, I don't think the Animals as a group would have been a success. And when we left home, we were very frightened young lads, you know. We didn't know what was going to happen. And I actually do enjoy playing the piano more than I do the organ, because it's an acoustic weapon, and you can hit the thing and get some experience, you know, out of a piano. You can hit it and feel the dynamic. And the only reason the Animals did have an organ in the band initially, first of all, nightclub owners wouldn't buy a decent piano. Secondly, they wouldn't keep it in tune. Thirdly, the audience used to be either sick inside of it or pour the beer inside of it. And so we couldn't trust a piano to be in tune. So that's why we always had organs, those groups in the early days.